Well, wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. I wish our radio listening audience, glad you're with us this morning. We're going to sing the first song is number 9, A Wonderful Savior, in our hymn book. Number 9. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, he taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved, he giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there in his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Let's do number 55. Then after this song, Dave Morse is going to lead our minds in prayer. And then after Dave leads us in prayer, then we can go to our classes. Number 55. 55, a prayer and enter the classes. And the name of the song, number 55, is Beyond This Land of Parting.
Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the grieving, lies the summer land of bliss.
Land beyond, so fair and bright.
Land beyond, where is no night. Summer land, that is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss. Beyond this land of toiling, sowing and reaping, far beyond the shadows darkening this, and far beyond the sighing, moaning.
Lamb beyond,
so fair and bright.
The Lamb beyond, where is no night? Summer's land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss.
Let's pray. Father, we're indeed thankful for this day that we have at this in this moment of time that we're able to assemble here and to study your word, Father. Father, we give thanks to you for all the blessings that we have, the blessing of health and homes, the blessing of family, and especially the blessing of redemption that's only found possible by the blood of Jesus, your blessed Son, Father. We're thankful for him, for his word, for his life, for his examples. And Father, for all the things that he did for us, especially that sacrifice. Father, as we go to our separate classes, Father, we pray that you'll be with each teacher and each student, that we might have open hearts and minds ready to receive your word, Father. We want to give thanks to you for the individuals that serve as teachers of this congregation, Father. We're thankful for their efforts and their study. Father, we're thankful for their diligence and their hearts that want to serve. Help us, Father, as we take upon these lessons. Help it to improve our lives. Help us, Father, to not keep it a secret, but to share it with others. It's in your Son's name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to start off by thanking everybody for coming, and Hint, thanks for all your comments that you're going to present today. Hint, hint. I find 15 and 16 kind of interesting. Not that it's something new for me to find it interesting, but as we study the scriptures ourselves, we understand that from time to time, we can glean a little bit more out of it. We can also try to discover things that we are not doing. And I want to start back with verse 24 and read that 24 through 29 real quick, and then make a couple of comments. That's the section we was talking about last week. Starting in verse 24, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 27. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same thing by the word of mouth. For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Farewell. Now, if we remember right, now I want to make this comment. This is a letter that was written to the church. And as you can see here, they I always find it interesting when Paul, especially when Paul writes a letter that he started out with greetings. He starts it out really nice and to get your attention. And, you know, that's what the gospel's all about, is to talk to somebody in a tone and nice and to explain things to them. So Paul does that rather well. And I commend him for it, because of the simple fact that all of us don't speak well. All of us cannot communicate well. And I'm not saying I'm one of those individuals. I'm saying that it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. Now, I said that, and we will go over this just a little bit, because it says here in verse 24, you must be circumcised to keep the law. We spoke about this last week, about the law, that it was nailed to the cross. We also talked about the law, that it was no longer in effect, and that people were trying to drag tradition and law and whatever things necessary up to this point. Now, I said that to tell you this. We talked about last week also how traditions are important, but we also talked about traditions that are unimportant. Okay? So, we're not going to go over all that. Here's something else that we need to think about. In verse 27, he says, he has sent Judas and Silas to report the same things by word of mouth. So not only by the letter that was sent, he sent two individuals to confirm what was in the letter. Now, what does that mean here, guys? That means repetition, doesn't it? And so I know that it is hard for us sometimes to determine what we need to remember and what we don't need to remember. And for me, it may be this is important. And to Teresa, it may be something else is important. To Stacy, it may be something else is important. And we're all talking about the same thing, but we get something a little bit different out of it. So as we read down through here, we're going to find out, especially in the next chapter, about where they go and go back to all the cities that they had been to visit, to confirm the word again, to preach to them again, and to check on them. Remember, we talked last week about how important it is that we have, especially with new converts or new people that are here, about studying with them, about budding, somebody needs to buddy up with them a little bit to make sure they can get as comfortable as possible in a congregation they're not familiar with. Now, we already know that if we're an established Christian of the church, that it's a whole lot easier than somebody new that's just beginning the scriptures. And so I want to make that clear today again, that is one of the most important things I believe that we need to do when we do this evangelism, because we don't know where they're from. We don't know what they can overcome and what they can't. So we have to be careful and loving and nurturing. I know that from the pulpit it's been said many, many, many times that a newborn's babe is, when they're born, they're not sent out into the world. They have to be nurtured. They have to be raised up. They have to be taught things. So I have a question. In our society today, when are our children considered being adult? It's not a hard question.
18.
So does that mean that we need to quit in a year from the people that we have? The way, if we look at it that way, we got 18 years to bring people up in the church. And I'm talking about new converts that we hopefully will have.
You know, I want everybody in here to realize it. Think back when you turned 18. You knew it all, right? And you found out in a very, very short time how much you didn't know. That's what I want us to press upon our minds today, to make sure that we continue to help. And I'm not saying that we don't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we fail sometimes. It only takes once or twice for them to slip out the door and never come back. And that's our responsibility, is to make sure we're helping as much as possible. That is part of our duty. Okay? I want to address James's question the best I can. In verse 29, it says that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well, farewell. Now, I think we all understand the idols. Okay? I think we can understand the sexual immorality. I think we all understand about the blood, right? Let's talk about the blood for a minute. At that particular time, you were not allowed to eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols. And when they would sacrifice them, they'd cut their throat a lot of times, or they would kill them in such a way that they would spill their blood. Now, James, the only research I could find is sometimes that wasn't done. They were strangled. They were strangled. What does that mean? The blood is still inside that animal. I'm not saying there's not something else. I'm telling you that's what I found, and that's the only thing I found. But that doesn't mean it. But so sometimes they strangle the animal, and you still have that life-giving blood inside that animal. So if that's the case, at this particular time in history, they did not want you to eat an animal that was sacrificed, whether it was strangled or whether the throat was cut and the blood was expelled. Is that, you think that's right, James? I'm asking your opinion. But
I think David did a decent job of bringing some light to that last week. In Jesus' ministry, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, he says, what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So, you know, with that passage, you know, he is removing a lot of the restrictions and the things that made a person unclean. You know, eating pork and you know, different types of shellfish and you know, all kinds of animals that were limited in Mosaic law. But I think probably due to the people that were hearing this message taught, probably some of the reason that they did that, because among these Christians were those who had practiced this very idolatry, and that was a real ritualistic practice that they used. And he said, you know, for the sake of their souls, you know, and we think about that when it comes to Christian liberties. You know, Paul said, you know, if eating meat offends my brother, I'll never eat meat again. And that's kind of the same idea, I think, that writers have with this. And I might be way off base.
No, I think all that goes together. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you why, James, is because they're going from the old law to the new law. Now, we're going from... Some of that was tradition that we talked about, remember? And some of it was not. And they want to bring some of the tradition after the new law was presented. And so that makes perfect sense when you add all that together, because they're trying to explain these things. You know, we have to be careful. And we're going to check here in just a few minutes. It's going to also talk about some things that contains to the old law.
And they did it to satisfy some of the people. Isn't it easier for me to go along with some of your idea than, and you've had it for a tradition for many, many, many years, but for you to listen to me, I need to go along with a little bit of it because it's not harmful. It's not against the law here for us to be able to talk well with each other and so that we can maybe persuade you that that's not necessary. You'll find out what we're talking about in just a minute. But my point is that sometimes we have to bend a little bit when we're teaching. Like our speaker that's been on the overhead, you know, that's a different way of teaching that I've seen in many years. Back when I was growing up, it was fire and brimstone. I'm sure that you all know what that means. Banging you on the head, you can't do this, you can't do this. And, you know, that probably worked for that time to some extent. But if we actually follow Christ's teaching, the best that we can, he does it in love, didn't he? Think about this for a second before we go on to our study for today. If I present something to you in love, you are going to respect it, you're going to look at it, and you're going to think about it. If I come here and say, this is the way it's going to be, you're going to say, well, wait a minute here. I'm not listening to you. Think about that for a second. When we go out and evangelize, think about that. Harshness can turn off a person in a heartbeat. Let's go through the next section here, which is our study for today. Starting in verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over encouragement. What did I just say? Encouragement, love, things like that go a whole lot further. And these people here were encouraged by what they heard. I know in society sometimes we want to focus on the bad things. Check your news. Turn it on. That's what they want to focus on. That gets people attention. Why does not, maybe I'm asking that wrong, why can we not get society to understand that good messages are more important than hearing about bad things? Bad things sells papers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bad things get your attention on the news. Well, I got to find out about this, right? I think it's up to us to teach as many as we can the other way. The love, the encouragement. I'll tell you something else real quick. I probably wouldn't be standing up here in front of you at all if it wasn't for that man that sat over there for many, many years. He was an encouragement to me constantly. He wasn't the only one, but I'm going to tell you what. Encouragement goes a long way. Now, when he had time to say, now, James, think about this. See, he didn't get on to me. But when he felt I was wrong, He'd done it in a loving way so that I would think about what was said or done. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad. It was just encouragement to go this way instead of this way, just enough to where you entrap people and you encourage others around you.
James?
Yes, sir.
The word they is used 6 times in verses 30 and 31 together. To me, only the last one is particularly significant.
What did you say? What verses?
The word they is used 6 times in verses 30 and 31.
30 and 31. Okay, go ahead.
It says, they were sent off. They came to Antioch. They gathered the multitude together. They delivered the letter. They read it. And then finally, they rejoiced over its encouragement. At least the final time in those pair of verses is talking about the multitude. It's not talking in that instance about Judas and Silas who had delivered this letter. The people when they got this letter, it kind of finalized the issue and they were encouraged by it. The whole crowd, it seems, drew encouragement from it, not just a couple people.
Thank you, James. I just thought of something else. What did the other 5 mean?
Well, I think most of the other 5 was talking about the Judas and Silas and the people who were delivering this letter.
But it was united.
Yeah.
They. It didn't say Silas. It didn't say this person or this person. It said they. So that tells me they were united about what they were doing. And that's what I want to bring out, is that's also what has to happen right here. We have to be united. That's really important. But yes, James, that last day was also probably the most important, because the all others brought that one even better. Anybody have any comments if they want to make a comment right this second? Okay. 32. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted to strengthening the brethren with many words. Now what did we just say about encouragement? About their encouragement. Strengthening with words. That's encouragement. Here's something else I think is important in verse 33. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seems good to Silas to remain there. That man, this is why I look at this, saw a need for him to stay and continue to help. I think in this instance here that it is good for us to look for those things in people that need extra help. Okay? 35. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. You know, and this short section has so much information. You know, when we stop and think about it, these are lots and lots of examples for us. For us. You know, we can never, ever outdo Christ. But what we can do is to mimic him as best as we can, which will make us better than we are today. It'll make us better tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because we're never going to be perfect. But if we improve, what is that going to tell everybody around us that we encounter? In your worksheet there, where did Paul and company go? That's number 14. When they left Jerusalem. That would be in your verse 30 there. It's Antioch. Let's go on to 15. It's a little bit more important. What did the brethren do when they read the epistle? Now, we've been talking about what they did. This is Acts 15 worksheet, not the one you got today. What did they do? Well, hopefully somebody knows. We've been talking about it for 10 minutes. They rejoiced over the encouragement. Number 16, where did Judas and Silas, the prophets? Were Judas and Silas prophets? In verse 32, it says they were. Okay. We should be able to finish this today on this here. So let's go back to the scriptures and start in verse 36. In verse 36, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John and call Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to grace of God. 41, and he went through Syria and I don't know if I can pronounce Cilicia. What?
I'm not.
Okay. Strengthening the churches. If you remember, we talked about this just a few minutes ago. Is that in verse 36, in the latter part, it says, "The brethren in every city and have preached the word of the Lord, and to see how they are doing." What would be the purpose for them going back? Anybody? What would be the purpose? They've already been there. They've planted the seed. They've preached the gospel. Then they went on. And they've done this in many cities. Now they're going to go back to each of those cities. Why? Yes. Okay. I won't disagree with that. And that's probably accurate. As far as we can tell in the scriptures, it doesn't tell us, does it? But I also think they went back to confirm that they are doing those things. To find out if they had any questions. Remember, these are prophets here. If they had questions, because they're new and they're growing, right? They're going to have questions. They're not going to have all the answers. And since they don't have all the answers, if they go back and revisit it, now that they've got to a certain stage, they could help them even grow more, couldn't they? So I think there's several things going on here. What Stacy said, going back and confirming what they've done, confirming they're still following the path. Remember, the verses just prior to this, some people want to keep the old law. Now, how easy in that time, now think back, I know we weren't there, but think back of what we read in the history. How easy would it to be to fall under the old law again? Remember, this is new. This is a new way of living, and they're talking about being a Christian. Remember, we talked about traditions. It would be so easy to fall back in your same pattern. Think about this, and I know nobody's here, an alcoholic or someone that's taking drugs. Do they relapse? We hear of it, but we don't know it from experience, because it's easier to go to what you know than it is to try to do what you need to do. I know if I drink, things will go away. No, they're still here. If I take drugs or of any kind, things will go away. No, they're still here. You're just pushing them down the road till one of them things gets the better of you and you're no longer here. Think about that for a minute. Are we pushing things down the road? We don't have to be an alcoholic or a drug abuser to push things down the road. Well, this is the way it's always been. We just continue that way. It's okay. And it might be. I often think about putting myself in the position of people in the Bible and saying, what would Paul and Barnabas do if they had came back here and found out we are no better off than when they left? I put myself in that position. Did I not grow? No, I said I was just the same. Did I not try to seek out the scriptures and learn more and to grow a little bit more, like I said, be a little bit more like Christ? No, I'm still the same. I don't think that's good for any of us. I've mentioned this a couple times. It's probably from the pulpit. If Christ walked in the doors right now, or appeared, or anything that you want to decide to do, do you think he would be satisfied with us? Let's make it personal. Do you think he'd be satisfied with you or with me? Maybe I'm weird. That's the things I think about sometimes. Is he satisfied with our Christianity? You know,
if James,
yes,
if that were to happen and he knew our hearts, he paid the price to forgive us. And he, if I don't think he, if we have forgotten, if we'd stumped our toe and said a bad word and didn't ask for forgiveness, do you think he would not give us grace to cover that?
I never said he wouldn't give us grace. I was just saying, what if he did? Are we doing all we can? That's all I meant by that. Are we doing all we can? You know, well,
some days
there's
I
a lot
all
of
I can and some days I don't.
Right. And as we read in the scriptures, we can ask for forgiveness anytime.
Yeah.
When we make a mistake. Those mistakes are not...
You make a mistake and you don't realize it was a mistake and you don't think about asking forgiveness. It seems to me that God's grace long as we're trying to do the best we can, and some days it's not too bad, and some days it's not too good. But I think his, if when I say my prayer and I ask God to please look at my life through the blood of Jesus, I think he does.
And I believe that's true. I'm just saying that some of us, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, but some of us could do a little bit more. Some of us need to challenge ourselves. I'm not saying you're one of those individuals. I think you've met all those challenges.
I am.
But we still have challenges. Is he going to forgive us? Yeah. I'm just saying, what would he say to you? That's something you'd have to say. Well, just like you said, you'd say, well, I think he'd forgive. Yes, I think he would. But if you, and I'm not talking about you, if you in your own heart, I'm talking about anybody, if you in your own heart know that you have not, that was the people I'm talking to that need to change, to grow. That's what they're telling us here, is to grow. Not stay the same with the Jewish law. Jamie?
To expand or answer kind of what George's comment there was, we can ask point blank questions and scenarios all day long. We have for years, you know. It's a mindset, is the way I look at it. God knows our mindset. He knows our heart. And, yeah, we're going to stumble. We're going to fall. He tells us we're going to do that. But are we trying to do better? Are we trying to grow in our life? I think that's what we're going to be judged on. Not did we slip or fall, but did we slip or fall because we wasn't trying to do better? Did we just try to skate through? And I think it's a mindset, and I think that's where the grace comes in. I think he knows if we're trying. I think he knows if we're just going through the motions.
You're exactly what I was trying to say. I wasn't pointing my finger at anybody. I was pointing my finger to say to you and to me, what can I do to do better? You may have already achieved all that you can do, but have you? And that mindset starts with you thinking about what the scriptures tell us, not what I'm telling you, by us to think about it. It has to do with, can you improve what you already do? That's why they went back, is to see whether or not, to me, by reading this, they went back to see if they were continuing in the old way, if they were growing, you know. That's why you check them. Now, don't get me wrong, they went back to visit. I'm sure they did. They probably made a lot of friends. I just want us to think about what we do on a daily basis to see what we can do. I really think that we can improve. You know, I'm not sure if I'm quoting this right, but there was a book that Ray Kroc had wrote, and it said, if you're growing, you're learning. If you're not, you're rotting. You're no use. Okay, now think about that right for a second. If you continue to grow, whether it's in your work or your Christianity, you're doing good for your community, your workspace, your church, whatever. If you're sitting here warming a pew, you're sitting here rotting, and that's all, because that's all you're doing. I'm just saying, think about that for a second. Some of us, that may be all we can do. So don't take it that we need to jump up and go do something. That's not what I'm referring. I'm saying we need to look in our own situations to see what we can improve. Now, I'm not saying that I agreed with that. I'm saying that's what was in the book. So,
James, I don't think if the Lord came and offered some advice to us, he would look at any one of us and say, you're exactly where you need to be. Stay right where you're at. I don't think he'd say that to any one of us. And I told my kids that when they went to college. I said, you know, when you get out of college, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, 6 years from now, however long you end up there, I said, you're not going to be the same person that you are today when you go in, right? You're gonna find who you want to be in college. Are you going to be someone that commits yourself to the Lord and grows, or are you going to go the other direction? Because you will not stay right where you are. You won't. No one does. Not one of us do. I think that's a good lesson for all of us to keep in mind.
That's good advice, because this is what we're talking about here on this. I know it doesn't tell us here, but you know what? It's a good aspect for us to think, because these men had the heart to check on the people they loved and to help them if needed. That's why they went back. I don't think they went back looking for something that was wrong. I don't think that at all. And I don't think that Christ would come here looking for something that's wrong. Georgia made a very good point. He already knows your heart in the first place. I'm saying, do you need to continue to grow? This is one of the hardest things I learned as a young adult. Well, I'll get my education, I'm done. No, you're just beginning. You're just beginning. I can't tell you how many seminars I've went over the last 43 years working where I work to continually grow.
James, you said earlier, you know, about a younger Christian or a person that hadn't obeyed the gospel. When you reach the point of accountability, that never stops. Mm-hmm. You know, the point of accountability should be through your whole Christian life. And if you look at the New Testament, Paul and Silas and Timothy and all those guys, they went back to several churches that had humans in them, and they still had problems, and they had to, you know, the New Testament shows that, you know, that the churches got out of bounds and they had to be put back in the box. And we're human, and we learn at all different degrees. It's never perfect, but we gotta, you know, keep, as you say, keep trying.
Let me give you a really good example for just a second. I was really hoping to finish this chapter up, but let's say, for instance, James, that you and I have a disagreement. I never said we was mad at each other, but he had an opinion and I had an opinion. Which one is right?
Both opinions could be right.
And both could be wrong, because it's an opinion.
We're talking religious opinion?
I just said opinion.
Opinion.
Because that's what I'm getting at. I could stop and say, I never thought of it that way. Even if it is in the scripture, I never thought of it that way. And James could say the same thing to me. As we see here, that Paul had contentions with Mark at that particular time. But we're going to find out later he got over it. My point is that we have to learn. We have to learn that we ain't always right and we're not always wrong, and we have to get along and we have to compromise and we have to do what's best for the church. We have to do what's best for the community.
And we fail at that. It may take us our whole life to learn.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes it's harder. You know, I've seen brothers were in the neighborhood that I live in, grown men in their 60s and 70s, fight with one another and be mad at each other till the day they both died, and they were still mad at each other over
something trivial. And that's usually what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to express. We don't need to trivial things to get in between us. Thank you for your comments, and I appreciate it.
coming up.